Welcome back to another episode of the Financial 15. This is the quick podcast of financial advice that gives you what you need to know in about 15 minutes, sometimes more, sometimes less. I'm your host, Ashley Nichols, and with me as always is co-host and senior wealth advisor, Stephen Biddle. Say hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon or evening or morning or whenever you are watching or listening to this. I guess it would be listening. So good afternoon.
Now, we record these episodes on a monthly basis, and you can find them all on our website, and that's at www.biddlejohnstonwmteam.ca under the newsletters, podcasts, and videos tab. And you can send any questions or comments about the episode or any topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes at ashley.nichols@nbpcd.com. Now, our last episode covered a plethora of questions regarding financial planning, and as we ran out of time in the last episode, we're going to turn this into a series. So here's part two of our financial planning series with our senior wealth planning consultant, Sean Harding. Sean, thanks again for joining us for another episode.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, we like hearing your voice, so definitely feel free. You get free rein today. So we're very happy to have you back for another episode. I'm sure we'll still have more stuff to cover today. You'll have lots to talk about. So with that being said, as usual, I'm going to fade into the background and let Stephen take over. So Stephen and Sean, you two take it away.
Thanks, Ashley. Now, for all you people who have just finally had your heart rate go down because of the excitement of financial planning last month, we're ready to fire it back up again. So we'll do the same format. I'll ask Sean some, you know, expert questions, and he'll come up with some expert answers, and I'll just fill in when I feel like it. Okay, let's start with number one. You know, we've talked about the financial plan, Sean. How often should they be reviewed?
The simple answer is whenever it feels relevant to you. Oftentimes, I'm going to suggest it's going to be when there's been a significant change.
So the classic life changes,
yeah, so
right?
Big life changes. So the fact is when someone's kind of coming up around retirement, for example, we might build a plan 6 months before they're retired. We review it again when they do retire. So 6 months later, and then we do it again, say maybe in the first year of retirement, just to confirm that the numbers were indeed kind of going as they anticipated. Then it'd start to taper off, right? Then it might be 3 years before we do a review again. It's really, is there any big changes going on in their world that would necessitate taking a look at the plan again?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point too. And also, the further you move into retirement, really the less you can do about it anyway, right?
Exactly.
Like, there's not like you can make some wholesale changes. And then I guess the other side of it too is, you know, the financial plan as you get a lot older will actually morph into an estate plan when you're getting to the point,
exactly,
where you know you're not going to run out of money. So then you look at, okay, how is the best way to pass this on to my heirs or donations or whatever the case may be, right? So there's always that spectrum of kind of where you are. And that actually brings up an interesting point. I just happened to see this morning, and it was an interesting little stat, but it said most people spend 90% of their time on the financial planning aspect before retirement, and they spend very little time on the life planning time. And then after retirement, it completely switches. So in other words, it really comes up with a question that not very many people ask, but it's really an important one. It's like, what are you going to do with your life that gives you purpose and fulfillment after you retire? Okay, we figured it out for you. You've got the money. Now what, right? I guess that other point that we always talk about is those individuals who retire from something versus those individuals who retire too. And what I mean by that is we've had clients who say, you know, I can't stand my job. I can't wait to retire. Okay, now your job's over. Guess what? You hated it yesterday. You don't have it today. Okay, 35 more years to go. What are you doing? Right? And you find a lot of those clients are actually kind of lost. where you have other clients who are like, you know, in 2 years, I'm going to be planning here. I'm going to be volunteering here. I'm going to do this. I've got this in place. I've got this in place. And they have a wonderful retirement. So it's, you know, not to throw a wrench in anything, Sean, but it's not always just about the numbers, right?
I agree 100%. The numbers really just kind of state that you can retire. Or what that retirement would look like just strictly financially. But you're absolutely right. If you're spending 40 hours a week on a job and you suddenly don't have that job anymore, how are you filling those 40 hours?
That's a good point.
And some people say, oh, I'm going to golf. Are you going to golf 40 hours a week, week in and week out?
Plus, and we do live in Alberta too. It's easy to get a tee time on January 5th, but it doesn't work too well. Yeah, anyway, so I saw they just like take a detour on this little combo before we even started. But that it is an important piece, right? It's
absolutely,
it's so important.
I'm also going to, like, there are other aspects, like, for example, the social. A lot of people, men in particular, seem to be guilty of this one, is that the job becomes part of their definition and part of who they are. And if you take that away, once the honeymoon part of retirement goes, as in the holiday part of it, and they settle into a day-to-day routine, they've lost a lot of their networking, their friends, their sense of purpose. So a year later, they're the ones that are actually starting to suffer. I'm going to say almost like they get bummed out. I'm not going to say necessarily depressed, but they're getting bummed out because they didn't have enough other things to do.
Yeah. And you really find that too with professionals, right? So, you know, for 20 years, it's Dr. Brown. All of a sudden, it's Susan's husband, Bob, right? Right. And, you know, it changes, right? Like the definition changes. And like you said, especially with a lot of professionals who have those titles and, you know, and it's hard to change things like that. But anyway, let's flip it to the other side of things. How do you plan with clients who can't reach their retirement dreams? And how do you work around those financial roadblocks?
Everyone's different. I guess I view it from, there's several different perspectives. Some have very, expensive lifestyles or very lofty goals in terms of how much they're going to spend. And although they might have saved considerable amounts and have significant pensions, it just won't keep up with that kind of lifestyle. That's kind of one end of the spectrum. And really it's kind of, okay, that's, we need to rethink maybe the lifestyle that you had kind of in your mind. I'll be honest with you, I don't encounter that kind of situation very often because most people in the last 5 years of their career, their patterns are kind of already set. So when they transition, there isn't going to be huge changes, but I have encountered a couple where they really wanted to do a lot of travel and the travel budget got way out of hand. Like they were going to be spending hundreds of thousands a year in travel because they really wanted to do all this exotic stuff. And it's like, well, you can do it once, but you're not going to be able to do it year over year over year in that particular circumstance.
And I guess, like you said, another thing too is, you know, we don't run into a lot of that.
No.
Because, and most of our clients, the reason we have them as clients is because they actually have accumulated wealth, right? If someone has been kind of spending way too much money and massively in debt and really has no net worth, realistically, they're probably not going to be the clients that we deal with most of the time. So like I said, we don't have that a lot of time, but I do think another thing that throws in there too is, you know, is what age do you come to this realization? You know, if you come to that realization at age 40, that you won't be able to do what you want to do, well, you can change that road that you're going on, right? You can save more money. You could possibly work more hours. You know, if you're 64 years old, there's not a lot you can do, right? So I guess kind of plan early.
The circumstances that I do find the most challenging and the most difficult to work with are when a couple, a family, they still have children at home and they're trying to retire early, right? So they still have very high expenses. When you still have children at home and you're running a household with like a family still at home, those are expensive years. And then on top of that, so we have very high expenses, and then we're trying to retire early. So I'm talking like age 50 to 55, like, and if we're trying to retire, lifespan goes to 90, right? Late 80s, early 90s is kind of the standard lifespan that we're looking at. And suddenly you realize we have to make a lot of, we still have to keep up with a lot of spending, and we have to make it last for 40 years, right? That's a very challenging situation to be in. And sometimes that's where we have to do a bit of a reality check going, I don't know if retiring early is necessarily in the deck of cards for you. Maybe we get the kids out of home first, or we get them launched. Then we can look at that.
That's a really good thing to keep up, because people forget those things, right? And another one that's popping up more that we see is people in retirement, all of a sudden they have elderly parents that they have to look after, both emotionally and financially. We've had quite a few clients said, hey, you know what? I need to help my parents with this. And that can throw a pretty big wrench in your own retirement plans too, right?
Yeah.
Next question. Let me think here. Since we're on the happy side of things, what happens when marriages dissolve, and how do you work with a couple who's separating?
Typically, and this is often, it's not my choice, but it's often the couple in question. When they are going through that, they're going to want to start dealing with different individuals. They don't want the same advisor anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we find that.
So typically one is going to make the choice of working with somebody else, and then I'm left with one of the two. Part of the separation process, there's the obvious, okay, they're actually physically living somewhere else, and there's going to be expenses associated with that. But before I can really start building any kind of plan, they actually need to be talking with their lawyer and getting a really good idea of what the assets are going to look like after the split and how they're going to determine that. I often come in a little bit later in the process when they have actually determined, or they've got a separation agreement in place or in the final stages of being developed, and I know exactly what's left in their pensions, because pensions get split. Their RSPs may get split. Things of that nature. It's like, okay, so post-split, what assets are you left with? And then what commitments are on that are one of the people or both on the hook for, in terms of one may have to pay spousal. The other one might be receiving a spousal. There might be a child support involved. So what other expenses need to get built in and for how long? And that's kind of all spelled out in that separation agreement. So as they're negotiating it out, yes, I can run it into a plan and say, this is what it starts to look like. But we kind of need to finalize that to really kind of close out the plan.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense, right? Just like when you're doing a plan, same sort of questions, right? What's your income? What are your expenses? Even the other side, okay, you're going to retire. What pension are you going to have? They're exactly the same questions, except the difference is you have to find out what those answers are, right?
So, exactly.
Which is always the hard part. And I think in a lot of cases, it ends up in many divorces, both people are worse off because you're literally doubling the expenses, right? In a lot of cases, instead of
divorce, you know, is two a houses. Fantastic way to destroy wealth.
Yes. With that, we have a question from the millennials and Generation Z or Z, whichever side of the boarding you're on. It's, will they ever be able to retire?
Yes. I think it might look a little bit different. And I think this is going back to earlier in a conversation when we were talking about the non-financial issues of what does retirement actually look like? How are you going to fill your time? What kind of activities are you going to be doing? I think that's where there's going to be an evolution. I'm already seeing it in the sense that 10 years ago, and I think it was really largely due to marketing more than anything else, but there was these Freedom 55, right? And you saw this lovely silver-haired couple on a sailboat going off into the sunset. Yep. And it was like, okay, very few people actually go that route with retirement. it doesn't really happen that way. Now, I think where it is there are lifestyle choices that are going to that are changing already, and it's not because of financial capacity or financial planning or anything like that. It's just the mindset between the generations is changing. Just with the Gen Xers now are starting to shift gears and realizing I may never stop working. I'm part of that category. I pretty much already decided I'm never actually really going to stop working. I just want to be able to be in a place where I'm working because I choose to, not because I have to. And I think that's going to progress. That's between the following generation, so the millennials, and then the Gen Zs. I expect that that's just going to be a continuous evolution where there people are just going to find different ways of working that are going to be fulfilling, and that will kind of integrate right into retirement. So it'll be activities that will generate money, but that can carry on.
More as in, like you said, activities generate money under your rules and regulations and not somebody else's.
That's right.
Which might be the definition. Yeah. As in the old definition of retirement means I no longer work, right? As in the new one might be, I no longer work under someone else's rules, but I'm going to work under my rules.
Right.
And you see that too with quite a few clients. Now we have clients who are easily financially able to retire, but they said, you know what? I enjoy my job. I was one client told me the other guys, what am I going to do with my time? No, I like this, right? So getting back to that, what do we do later question. Right. And that rolls into there too. You're also seeing, you know, around the world, you're seeing countries begin to say, you know what? We're going to change the retirement years. They, you know, they did that in France. They said, we're going to change it from, I think, 62 to 64. And people went just crazy, right?
But yeah, like, the European countries are very tied to their social
pensions and stuff.
Yeah. The social safety net, right?
Yes.
So for us, that would be CPP and OAS. But the fact is, CPP and OAS are a much smaller, it's a shrinking percentage of our retirement plan. And so they psychologically, because Greece went through this as well, there are too many people retiring and they're living longer. So what's happening is it's putting their whole social net under huge stress. As societies go, they really don't like that idea. But the fact is we're already kind of used to planning, right? We're already getting used to planning for our future and making sure that we've got the supplementary either work pensions or RRSPs or whatever it may be. But we're already kind of further down that road than they are. Now you think 30, 40 years ago, think of the generations from 40 years ago, they would work for the same employer for 40 years and they would hit that magic number, 65, and boom, they would get their pension, CPP, OAS, and that's it. And they didn't do planning. They didn't need to.
They also had shorter life expectancy too.
Well, that's another big one right there. It's like, why 65? Well, people didn't live much longer than 65 at the time that age was put in place. Now people are living much later.
Yeah, Sean, I think when it originally started, it was invented in or created in Germany. And it was the retirement age was 65 and the average life expectancy was 69. So you basically retired, but a ton of people died before you even got to that point, right? So, you know, when you, like you said, now is you retire at 65 and life expectancy is late 80s, that's 20 years where it used to be 5. And then also when you look at, what do you want to call it, reproduction, the number of kids is going down and down. Well, you need, you know, because really pensions are just a giant pyramid scheme, right? You need people in the bottom to pay people who are taking it out, right?
Yeah.
And if those number of people who are contributing gets smaller and smaller and smaller, then it makes it harder and harder for that to continue. You know, I know people who, you know, retired early on, you know, let's say a corporate pension, and the amount of money they've taken out of it is multitudes of what they ever put in. You retired, you know, with a government pension at age 55, and you're 85 now. 30 years of pulling that money out.
Ouch.
Do you find too with like Sean, you were mentioning, you know, older generations, so many of them retiring this and that. Like with baby boomers retiring and hitting those retirement ages now, kind of the same thing. Like what I guess what you had mentioned happening in Europe, like not as many people replacing to pump money into the social spending for those who have retired. Do you think that we'll see that here in like North America in the coming, like in our lifetime, where governments are trying to now raise retirement ages and things like that, so that social security, like all that spending can still go towards those who retire in the future?
So they've adjusted things here. One is they put in the range, right? You could retire at age, you could pull, say, for example, CPP at age 60, but there's financial incentive now to take it at age 70, right? So they're putting it in as a sliding, and they're putting financial incentive on it, as opposed to just saying arbitrarily, we're changing the age.
Mm-hmm. You also saw the RIFs, right? They changed the RIF date too.
Yep.
And you had to take it too.
Yep.
From 70 to 72, delaying it again.
The other aspect that they've done is that they've built up an investment fund component. CPP used to be exactly as Stephen was saying, was it used to be the people that were working were supporting the people that were retired, right? The money just came right off their paychecks and went into the pockets of the retirees. Yeah. It was kind of almost a flow through. Now they've built up this $1 billion fund to be an investment component, right? To buffer that. But also just the reality of it is they're not increasing it by the same amount as inflation really is. So what's happening is over time, it's falling behind. It's becoming less and less of your retirement, I guess, income needs.
Yeah.
It's a shrinking percentage.
Well, luckily, you know, we were mentioning with, you know, working even past your retirement years and stuff. Millennials, we've all got side hustles now, so we'll be fine. We'll keep going.
Right. And to be honest with you, this is what I mean by the reality is changing. It's not uncommon for people to have 2-3 forms of income or employment. Yeah. They might have one main one. And then 2-3 others, but you're exactly right, is the side hustles then start to influence things. And you realize it's like, well, if I'm in control and I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing, why do I actually need to suddenly do a hard stop and retire in the traditional sense of the word? It's just, I want to have the flexibility to say, I want to go on a trip. I'm going to go on a trip.
Yeah. That's right. That's why I think by the time my generation retires, there's going to be a huge influx of YouTube stars that are like between the ages of like 60 and 80. Just all
it's gonna change.
YouTube celebrities. We're all just a bunch of old geriatrics. So we'll make it work. Yeah. It's fine. We'll make it work.
The dancing won't be as impressive as it is now.
It'll actually be contests on how long we can go till we pop a hip. Like how long can we floss until that happens?
Exactly. Let's see, do we have any other questions here? Maybe we'll just end it with this one, Sean. For everyone in general, you know, before they start, you know, really starting to have some serious wealth, what are some of the things people can do earlier in life to kind of make sure they can retire later in life?
Single biggest, I'm going to say this to any young person or people that are starting to build up their wealth, is, and someone actually gave me this advice, don't let your lifestyle grow into your paycheck. So as you keep making money and that paycheck keeps going up, don't let the lifestyle soak it all up. Because at some point in time, you're going to need to pay down debt and or save. So if you keep growing into that lifestyle, those are the people that are in the real pickle, is they've got these big paychecks, but they've also got a really big lifestyle now that uses it all up and they can't save, or they don't want to save. How's that? And some people just acquired a whole lot of debt and they have a lot of debt payments to do. So that would be my word of advice right there is don't let the lifestyle grow into it.
Not to single out a specific type of worker, but I will say, like, back in the oil boom here in Alberta, we saw a lot of it, right? With people working, making these big money and big salaries. And so they bought the big house, they bought the three trucks, they bought the two quads, they bought the boat, they bought the lake house, they bought the took all of it out on loans. And then all of a sudden, you know, the industry slowed down. And now you see just tons of things up for sale and foreclosing. And you know, people were in a lot of financial trouble after that because they didn't save.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Another thing to throw on that now is, you know, we didn't really have many conversations with our clients about paying down debt, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, because if you have a 2% mortgage and your investments are making, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, it makes sense to have debt. But nowadays, you know, literally Bank of Canada rates almost 7%.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, says Ashley. Yeah. But if you think about that, if you're paying 7% on any sort of loan, that is equivalent to having a 7% guaranteed after-tax rate of return on an investment. And unfortunately, I don't know of any of those that exist, right? Because to pay that 7%, you have to earn it. You pay tax on your earnings, and then you have to pay that off, right? So it's a very high number now. I had this discussion with a client the other day. You know, they're going to forego contributing to their tax-free savings accounts for the next couple of years because they want to take that regular contribution and pay down the debt. Because that's a big number, right? And this was on a variable rate mortgage. I think they were paying 7.25%. So got to pay that down. Like back in the day when interest rates were literally 1-2%,
it
wasn't really an issue.
Yeah,
it was free money, right? And you could invest and it made a better choice. Now it's changing.
I think we've got it. I think we covered it all today. That was a bit quicker this time around. I'm thinking.
Well, we wanted to do it in less than half an hour and it's 29 minutes, actually. Look at us. So I think we're doing good.
Look at us. Oh my gosh. So good. Well, yeah. I mean, I think, again, it's just more important things and topics and answers to questions that I think everybody needs to hear and think upon their own financial plans, or if now they're thinking, I have one and I need to maybe tweak it a little bit and make some adjustments. I mean, really now's the time, especially like you say, Stephen, with, you know, cost of everything going up and inflation and interest rates to pay off debts. Maybe you have to change a few things that you have set out in your financial plan. Maybe your plan was to just pay those debts down gently and now you got to get aggressive with it. So, you know, if that's the case and you've got financial plans that you would like us to take a look at, or you'd like to start one, we would definitely be happy to work with anybody who would like to get that started. And Sean, as we know, he's available and works with us, and he will put out some really nicely in-depth and adaptable financial plans for our clients. And yeah, if you ever want to start that journey with us, you feel free to let us know and send us a email. And again, that email is at ashley.nichols@nbpcd.com. Sorry, I even forget my own email sometimes. It's a lot of letters. But you can send us a message anytime. We'll always be happy to help connect you with Sean, connect you with our team, and that's what we're here for. So, Sean, thanks again. This has been so awesome. If we can think of some more financial topics to talk about, we'll definitely have you on maybe even next month. We'll see what the news brings and what the world economic outlook is.
we'll start chiseling away at it topic by topic.
I think so. And, you know, I think in the future here, in the near future, what we need to do is we need to have Sean in to do a video presentation of an actual plan, a dummy plan, if we'll call it a Mr. and Mrs. Smith plan. But regardless, yep. I think more content like this would be, I think, very helpful, especially nowadays. Again, seeing the way that the world is going, we have to make sure our money is safe and our financial retirements are secure. So for everybody who's listened today, thank you so much for tuning in. And Stephen, Sean, thanks for joining and taking part. And everyone else, just have a wonderful day. And we will chat with you next time.
Thanks, Ashley.